Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley, and you can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Hit us up via email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And, of course, that text and voicemail line always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans. 331-979-1369 is the number for our weekly mailbag content. Happy MLK Day to all of you out there in Bulls Nation. Hopefully some of you, that means a day off and a three-day weekend. The Bulls have another busy week on deck, another week of the doldrums of January, where the schedule has four games in a seven-day span. Monday, today, they're taking on the Bucks, a early MLK tip-off time at 4 p.m. Central Time. Up in Milwaukee, Bulls still have not beaten their Central Division rivals yet. The Bucks barely have lost to anybody this season, as Giannis and his team are on pace for 70 wins this season. Really fun team to watch. Boy, are they good. Bulls will have their hands full tonight. Wednesday, they got the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then another Friday, Saturday back-to-back at the end of the week against the Sacramento Kings and Cleveland Cavaliers as they play the Cavs for the second Saturday in a row. So some winnable games on the schedule this week. Certainly, you don't like their chances in Milwaukee tonight, but Minnesota, Sacramento, and Cleveland, all winnable games. Let's see if the Bulls could actually put together a 3-1 week. Might be nice. Today, figured I'd give my thoughts on both of the games from their back-to-back this past weekend, going 1-1, losing their only nationally televised ESPN game of the season to the Sixers in Philly, and then coming home and getting a win against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Saturday. So this Sixers game was a disappointment, largely because we talked about this on Outsiders Friday night. It was the one nationally televised game of the year. The Bulls also have a couple of NBA TV games, but as far as actual nationally televised games, this was the one. 82 games, the Bulls got one. And if anything, you would have hoped that the Bulls could make it a game against a quality team like the Sixers, who coming into that contest were 19-2 at home, a very strong team playing on their home floor. And that you would see an all-star caliber performance from Zach LaVine on the national stage as he's trying to make this late push to get his first all-star nod of his career. And sadly, it was a tough night for Zach. He had just 23 points on 9 of 20 from the field, did go 5 of 5 from the free throw line, but the part of his game that has been so consistently strong this season, his three-point shot, just wasn't working. He was 0 of 7 from behind the three-point line, and that was just one player for a Bulls team that really struggled collectively behind the line. The Bulls just 8 of 35 from three-point range, 22.9%, and in the later stages of this game, they just were getting cooked by Furkan Korkmaz, the Sixers bench player who poured in 24 points on 6 of 9 from downtown. So for Zach, it was kind of an underwhelming game, although, you know, credit to him, he added 7 rebounds, 3 assists, but he also did commit 4 turnovers on the night. A frustrating night. And sadly, this was a night where if Zach is not playing to the height of his capabilities, and in this instance, not hitting his shots from behind the arc, the Bulls don't have enough behind him or backing him up to withstand even the you know, the more modest of runs or dominant quarters from their opponent. And it was another third quarter night. The Bulls outscored by Philly, I believe, 35 to 24 in the third quarter. The Sixers making a run there. And the other frustrating part, other than Zach not having enough to carry them on a night like this, is that Jim Boylan's minutes were once again just really confounding. In the absences of Wendell and Daniel Gafford, he has, for the most part, been sticking with playing centers, namely Luke Kornet and, dear God, Cristiano Felicio. Kornet had 28 minutes in the game Friday night against Philly. Felicio played 14 off the bench. And on a night when Luke Kornet plays 28 minutes and takes 10 shots and Lauri Markkanen plays just 29 minutes and takes 9 shots, that certainly raises concern. And once again, it was a system defensively with Luke Kornet that exposed the flaws of this pick-and-roll trap defense that Jim Boylan is so insistent upon playing, because we all know that Luke Kornet can be a decent rim protector and shot blocker if he's actually allowed to stay near the rim in the restricted area. But this defense has him out there, you know, 25 feet away from the basket, guarding the perimeter. And with a talented point guard like Ben Simmons and competent shooters around him, the Sixers are one of many teams who have been able to just pass out of that trap and either hit the man rolling to the rim or spraying out to shooters. And it's very easy to break that down, especially when you're asking an immobile center like Kornet to go out there and guard the perimeter. So coupling that with another underwhelming night from Lauri Markkanen, it was just frustrating to watch. And especially, you know, again, a nationally televised game where you see Jim Boylan sticking with this second unit from the third quarter well into the fourth quarter when the game was still up for grabs. The Bulls did struggle in that third quarter, but they were still within striking distance. And you had another night where Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine are both on the bench well into the fourth quarter. And I mean, and what odds are you giving yourself to win a game when you have both of those guys on the bench and you're playing a unit that's like, you know, Hutch, Archie, Kobe White, Kornet? Like, it didn't make any sense to see Jim Boylan stick with that second unit for as long as he did in the fourth quarter of a winnable game. The rotations have been an issue all season long. And that certainly was another frustrating one to see on Friday night. Because, yeah, Zach LaVine played 36 minutes, but he could have played 40. The dude's trying to make an all-star push, and you were in a winnable game. And Lauri Markkanen playing only 29 is just inexcusable. We all know he's been struggling, and we all know that Lowry has to take some of the blame for the way he has regressed this season. But we also know that so much of what Markkanen has struggled with is a lack of consistency, and how can he develop any semblance of rhythm when he is not on the floor for such long stretches? Lowry was leading the Bulls scorers with 12 at halftime on Friday night. And he finished with 12. Played 8 minutes of the third quarter, did not get a single shot. Didn't take his first shot of the second half until late into the fourth quarter. I want to say somewhere around the 4.5 minute mark of the fourth quarter. That's not good enough. It's not good enough from Lowry, and it's not good enough from Jim Boylan. They both have to do better to keep him involved, especially on a night when he's on pace to have a 20-plus point night. But he only plays 29 minutes, takes like 2 shots in the second half. It's not okay. And it's unfortunate, and it was frustrating to see that in a game, again, that was for all of the NBA's eyes to see. Friday night game on ESPN. And it looked like Lowry was on the way to having himself a strong night, and then like so many nights before this season, we had to watch Lauri Markkanen disappear in the second half. And Zach was not having a strong enough night to carry the load by himself. But again, 28 minutes for Cornett and 29 for Markkanen. No, I'm sorry. Felicio, 14. The dude can't play. Make some adjustments, Jim. Which we actually finally saw him do the next night against Cleveland. Before we get to that, just wanted to give a shout out to our friends at Indeed.com. When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your short list of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job posts so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests range from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/LockedOn and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/LockedOn. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. So we all thought we would be in for a potentially ugly game Saturday night. The Bulls and Cavs both playing on the road Friday night, first end of back-to-backs, and because of that big snowstorm we got in Chicago Friday night, both teams were stuck in their respective locations and could not get back to Chicago until late Saturday morning. The Bulls were stuck in Philly. The Cavs were stuck in, I believe, Memphis. And so we thought we could have a sloppy game on our hands, and we certainly saw a sloppy game for large stretches. The Cavs got out to a hot start thanks to Kevin Love and a dominant first half from him. I believe he had 20 at halftime. He was knocking down his threes, getting plenty of looks, and was also facilitating for his teammates. He finished the night with 29 and 6 assists, as well as 5 rebounds. Tristan Thompson, his usual productive self, 14 and 8. But the Cavs, not a very deep team, and did not get a whole lot from their bench. So despite 29 from Love, 26 from Colin Sexton, and 16 from the rookie guard Darius Garland, they could not hold on to the lead that they built for themselves as the Cavs scored just 14 points in the fourth quarter. The Bulls, 31 points in the fourth quarter, which allowed them to come back from a 15-point deficit entering the fourth. The Bulls trailed by as many as 19 earlier in the night. And unlike his struggles on Friday night, Zach LaVine in this one basically single-handedly brought the Bulls back. There were some solid, timely contributions from Shaq Harrison, who played 8 big minutes in this game. Kobe White had some big buckets. Chandler Hutchison had one of his more impactful games of the season. 4 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, and 4 big steals in his 22 minutes. And it was the Bulls' defense that they changed up a little bit in the second half that really put the pressure on Cleveland and forced them into a lot of turnovers, particularly as the Bulls were fighting their way back in the fourth. The Cavs, 14 points in that fourth quarter. They nearly matched it with 10 turnovers, and they turned the ball over 26 times on the night. So certainly credit to the Bulls' defense, but also credit to the Cavs for playing some very sloppy basketball that allowed the Bulls to, on the shoulders of Zach LaVine, climb back into this game. 42 points from Zach. The guy is on an absolute tear, and credit to Jim Boylan for praising his best player after the game, saying that, you know, if that's not an all-star performance, he doesn't know what is. And I agree. I don't know if Zach is going to have enough of a push here to get himself an all-star nod. We're getting down to the end of it. And actually, I believe today, Monday the 20th, is the final day of fan voting. So if you haven't already, or even if you have already, do it again. Get out there and vote for our Zach LaVine to represent the Bulls and our great city of Chicago. All-Star Weekend coming up in a few weeks. 42 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 5 steals, and just 1 turnover. An amazing performance from Zach, 19 of 31 from the field, And that was with just 2 of 6 from behind the three-point line. Dude got 17 buckets inside the three-point line. He was hitting some nice mid-range shots. He had a couple of nice jukes just outside the paint, hit some mid-range shots. He went glass a couple of times in the fourth quarter when he was leading that furious Bulls comeback, showing his entire repertoire, his entire arsenal of offensive skill, and getting a lot of looks at the rim. Matter of fact, Zach is among the league leaders in the NBA in the month of January when it comes to getting looks and scoring at the basket. We've seen him struggle this season at times, drawing enough contact and getting calls from officials. Still hasn't really earned the respect from NBA officials to be rewarded with getting to the free throw line. We've started to see some more of that. And he's also improved his finishing at the rim. It just seemed like so many times earlier this season, Zach could get to the rim but was struggling to finish. But man, 17 field goals inside the three-point arc Saturday night. Just incredible, incredible stuff from Zach LaVine. And the other part about Saturday night's game that I liked and could actually appreciate is the adjustments that were made by Jim Boylan. After watching Luke Kornet and Felicio struggle so mightily on Friday night, you saw Boylan change something up. Because whereas Kornet played 28 and Markkanen 29 on Friday night, on Saturday night, and the Bulls are down big coming into the fourth quarter, right before the third quarter ends, Boylan subs Markkanen back in. And then Markkanen proceeded to play the rest of the game. 33 minutes for Markkanen. That is more like it. That has to be where his nightly minutes are, at least. No more of this sub-30-minute nights for Lauri Markkanen bullshit. And it's, you know, it goes back to what I was saying earlier when we were talking about the Philly loss and Markkanen needing the time on the floor to find his rhythm, to pull himself out of whatever funk this is as best he can, while still knowing that Markkanen and the type of player he is not best suited for this Jim Boylan offense. But even still, you're increasing the odds of letting Markkanen develop and put some nice nights together if you actually play him. And it wasn't like a, you know, an amazing night from Lowry. He finished with 17 points, but at least he got 14 shots. So far this season, he's averaging fewer shots per game than he did his rookie year. And that is not acceptable. So at least he was on the floor and making things happen. He made a couple of big buckets in the fourth quarter as the Bulls were rallying back, because, you know, we all wondered coming into this season, is this Zach's team? Is Lowry going to take a big jump and establish himself as the best player on this team and Zach will be his complimentary piece? Well, clearly, as we are now, past the halfway point, Zach is the best player on this team. No question, without a doubt, every night he is their best player, but he still needs a complimentary piece. And for long term down the road, the questions about, you know, can Zach and Lowry work together? Can they be a good enough 1-2 punch to actually lead a decent team that's a playoff bound team if they continue to develop? You know, we can talk those questions throughout the entire offseason that will last months. But at least for the time being, what you want to see in what appears to be another lost season is just forward steps, progress. Instead of Markkanen regressing all season long, do something to help him turn the season around and finish respectively on a positive note. So I like the fact that Boylan said, all right, to hell with this, I got to develop 15 guys bullshit that we heard him say after that joke of a loss to the Lakers early on this season when he left his starters on the bench far too long. He said, all right, I'm going to ride Zach heavy tonight, and I'm going to let Markkanen play the whole fourth quarter. LaVine finished with 39 minutes, Markkanen with 33, and asked after the game his thoughts on playing the entire fourth quarter. Markkanen, with a bit of a knowing grin, said, I didn't have a problem with it. Gee, I wonder if he is open to the idea of playing more minutes. And it's doubly beneficial because, you know, we all know that Markkanen is no amazing stopper on the defensive end. But at least And it's something that Chris Dunn talked about postgame with, you know, making an adjustment and giving the Cavs offense a different look that they had to deal with. A lineup where you were playing Markkanen at the five, you were playing Hutch at the small ball four for a considerable portion of that fourth quarter, and you got, you know, Levine, Sato, and Dunn. That's not a bad lineup. We know that it's been frustrating to watch Hutchison struggle to stay on the floor with all these various injuries, but you got to see what you have with this kid. If he can stay healthy for the rest of this season, he's a first-round pick. Second-year first-round pick. And you don't know how much development is left to be had for a player who's going to be 24 at the end of the season, a four-year college player. But if you can give your lineups a bit more versatility with Hutch playing instead of having to play Cornet and, dear God, Felicio for these minutes, then try something new. It's what we've been saying on Outsiders, it seems, all season long, the biggest frustration of this season. It's, you know, slamming your head into a brick wall over and over again and surprised that you're coming up with losses when you're not changing anything. On Saturday night, Boylan tried something new, which is, I think, what most Bulls fans have just been begging for. At the very least, try something new. If what you're saying, if what you're trying isn't working, and I think that's why all of us were so upset with his comments about, I'm really pleased that we've developed a system on both ends. Dude, you're 12 games under 500. Your systems ain't working. Do something different. And especially when trying to mask the losses of Wendell and Gafford in the front court, Cornet, in the style of defense that you play, isn't working. Felicio is unplayable. So on Saturday night, we saw the Bulls actually make some adjustments. They started doing a little bit more switching defensively, and they eased up a little bit on the traps, and they played some solid help defense at times, whether it were Shaq or Hutch or certainly Levine and his big night with five steals. They showed their opponent something different, and Chris Dunn said it after the game. He's like, yeah, we just showed him something different. So, you know, kudos to Jim Boylan for trying something different. It only took him until the middle of fucking January. But hey, you know, beggars can't be choosers at this point. We got to ride out this season with Boylan, and it would be nice to see him change some things up. And we finally saw that Saturday. He played Markkanen for a whole fourth quarter. He relied less on Cornet, and he played Hutch, small ball four. And it rattled their opponent. And it, granted, it's not a good opponent. The Cavs are terrible, one of the few teams in the league that are worse than the Bulls. But at least it was evidence of making an adjustment based on what you saw in the first half and turning in a different direction to increase your odds of winning the game. It seems like simple shit, I know. But we've been struggling ourselves as we watch Jim Boylan just refuse to make in-game adjustments or game-to-game adjustments. We finally got some of it Saturday night. We finally got starters and the guys who are supposed to be the stars of this team playing the heavy minutes that they should play. And hopefully, we can see that trend continue as we move forward. For all of you Chicagoans who might be looking to escape the blistering cold of Chicago winter, check this out. This early spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 Major League Baseball teams, 75 degree temperatures. Doesn't that sound nice? All 10 stadiums in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles of one another. You can meet the players, get the autographs before games. A great time for all. Not just that, check out amazing restaurants, bars nearby, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. Not only that, bringing the kids along to spring training is a great idea from a family vacation, fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to games, activities, and more. Arizona has tons of stuff for kids to do and see, including wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your family's spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. All right, before I get out here, just wanted to have a couple of follow-up thoughts on this win over the Cavs, because we still need to take everything with a grain of salt, of course, in this disappointing Bulls season. It seems as though these are the types of teams that the Bulls are able to beat, and just these types of teams. You know, you have a four-game season sweep against the Pistons. You got two wins against the Washington Wizards, beating teams like the Cavs, the Knicks. Meanwhile, the Bulls are 1-17 against teams that's over 500. They'll get a shot at making that 2-17 tonight against Milwaukee, but let's be honest with our expectations there. But as the Cavs were doing everything they could to cough up this game Saturday night, and kudos to them for doing the Bulls that favor, as I mentioned earlier, 10 turnovers in the fourth quarter, some of the credit there to the Bulls' defense. But, credit the Bulls for climbing back into a game where they were down big entering the fourth quarter, but they also still tried to cough up this game, or not tried to, but made a lot of head-scratching mistakes, mental mistakes, late in the game that could have cost them. And it was multiple guilty parties. There was a big moment, a big possession late in the fourth where somebody, I can't remember who, had a drive and kick out to Chris Dunn, who was sitting in the corner, and he put up a three that everybody knew was going to miss. We all knew he was going to miss that, and it wasn't just a miss, it was an air ball. If Chris Dunn had just made one quick swing pass to Markkanen, who was at the elbow there, he could have increased the odds of the Bulls hitting a big bucket with Markkanen taking his shot from behind the three-point line instead of Chris Dunn. You know, I'm not trying to be too hard on Dunn, and I know he's been given the green light by Jim Boylan because he has to try to make defenses respect him, but it's become laughable how much defenses are sagging off of Chris Dunn and daring him to shoot. You saw Simmons do it to him Friday night when the Bulls were playing Philly. There's a reason. There's a reason Chris Dunn is wide open behind the three-point line. And in that particular moment, one more swing pass, Markkanen was wide open, and you increase your chances of hitting that three from a better three-point shooter in a big moment in the game. Markkanen also had a mental mistake late in this game on that foul when he was beat by a pump-faking Kevin Love, who drove baseline for a dunk. And Markkanen just kind of gives him a little shove in the back as Love's on his way to flushing one home. And credit to Jim Boylan, challenged the call of the and one and actually won the challenge. The foul was rescinded, and it was 2 points instead of an and one. But even still, knowing that that could have been an unnecessary and one, Markkanen gets beat, admit you're beat, and leave it be as the 2 points. Don't give him a free extra point, especially in a game as close as this one was. So there's a mental mistake from Markkanen. Then you get the Jim Boylan mental error. Less surprising, perhaps. Jim Boylan, after CeeDee Osman hits a three to cut the Bulls' lead from 4-1 after a very quick possession, calls his final timeout. Why? The Bulls are still up. If the Bulls just get the ball inbounds from the baseline following the bucket, the Cavs have to foul. You're under 24 seconds of game clock. There is no shot clock. The Cavs have to foul and send the Bulls to the free throw line. So what's the need for the timeout? Instead of just getting the ball inbounds and heading to the free throw line to push that lead ideally back up to three, you have to now draw up an out-of-bounds play from the sideline. You got Luke Kornet inbounding the ball. And yeah, maybe Zach LaVine gets pushed from behind. It doesn't get called. And the ball sails all the way to the other sideline, out of bounds, and you give the ball back to Cleveland. All of that happened, and you give the Cavs another shot to steal this game because Boylan called an unnecessary timeout. Why? Thankfully for the Bulls, Kevin Love, just doing what he can to out-tank the Bulls with just a ridiculously bad shot. When the Cavs got the ball back, he was trying to, like, go glass from the right side of the rim and just, like, hit it off the side of the backboard. It was like a touch, you know, to use one of Neil Funk's favorite phrases, a terrible shot. And then on the other end, ensuing possession, Zach LaVine able to, you know, beat his man with a clever little backdoor cut, gets a little reverse and one to put the Bulls back ahead and put the game away. But again, like, multiple mental mistakes and poor execution down the stretch that could have cost the game, that the Cavs did everything they could to hand to the Bulls. And, you know, Chris Dunn shooting the three instead of passing, not good. But I guess, you know, it's expected when we hear how much he's been given the green light and he's trying to make defenses respect him. Lauri Markkanen and dumb foul, certainly not the only guilty party when it comes to the Bulls committing dumb fouls this season. Young players make mistakes late in games. It happens. The one that is inexcusable, and it's one that we've seen far too often from Jim Boylan all season long, and it's one of the big reasons why he has proven he is not capable of being an NBA head coach, is the dude does not know how and when to use his timeouts. And calling a completely unnecessary timeout in that moment of that game could have cost the Bulls a win. And those wins are not easy to come by. But it's not surprising. It's not surprising that Jim Boylan was mismanaging his timeouts in yet another close game late. It's what he does. It's his MO. But there it was. So there is the grain of salt. Yeah. Amazing night from Zach LaVine. Furious comeback. Pretty entertaining. But there's still those late game execution issues that are, you know, bad mental errors by not only the players, but by the coach who's trying to lead them. Before we get out of here, just wanted to mention that now's your shot, if you have a local business, to get involved with Locked On Bulls and the Locked On Podcast Network. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Bulls is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Bulls fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listeners, a Locked On listener. If your company wants to connect with Bulls fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On Bulls podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. With that, thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. Enjoy Bulls Bucks. Reminder, that's an early tip-off, 4 p.m. Central Time on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We will be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. Big week on deck. Games Wednesday, Friday, Saturday after Bulls Bucks tonight. Thanks for listening, Bulls Nation. Hit up that text to voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Until tomorrow, be well, see red, be good. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com